What distinguishes you from the other mayoral candidates when it comes to running for this race?
Well, I mean, I think that I have both the experience and an ability to really look into Dayton's future. And, I really believe that Dayton's best days are ahead of it if we have the right kind of leadership in the mayor's position. And so, I'm really excited about this race. I think we have a lot of great things to talk about Dayton now and Dayton in the future. And we have a lot of opportunities. And so it's just been a great opportunity to talk to folks in Dayton about their city.
How do you define the role as mayor? What is that going to look like if you are elected?
Well, if I'm elected mayor, I will be a full-time mayor. I think that the city deserves that, and it deserves someone that really uses that position to really advocate for both the city and the region and make sure that we have a place at the table both statewide and nationally. So that's the role I would definitely carve out. And then also, making sure that citizens' needs are heard and that they feel like they have a voice and a place into the mayor's office.
So, but the mayor's position is a part-time job by definition, as I understand it.
It's considered part-time, but so is the commission, frankly, and I've treated it pretty much as a full-time job as well. And so I think, for me, I really love public service and love really getting to talk to people, and there's a lot of work to do in Dayton, and so that's what I would commit to do.
How would your mayor tenure compare to what's happening right now under Mayor Gary Lightsel? How would you make it different?
Well, I have really strong relationships with the city commission, and I'm proud that the other three commissioners have all endorsed me for this position. I don't do anything alone, and I know that it's about collaborations and partnerships. And so I think we'd really work hard to make sure that we use each person's assets and relationships with other folks to really move the city forward. That's one way. And then also, I think we need to have a vision and a plan that moves Dayton forward. And so we've done that with the roadmap for Dayton's future. We've put it on our website at nanwhaley.com, really focusing in on our asset-based development with job creation and making sure we create jobs. We know that when people have jobs, a lot of other problems go away. They can get housing easily. They can take care of their kids. They pay attention to education of their children. So, we really think that jobs is the key for Dayton's future. And then also making sure that our neighborhoods, a focus on neighborhoods, especially with blight. I've been a leader in making sure that Dayton gets a good amount of money from both the state and federal government on taking down some extreme blight in our community.
You're also running against a Democrat, A.J. Wagner. What would distinguish you between the two Democrats in this race?
Oh, well, number one, I am endorsed by the Democratic Party. And so, I'm proud of the support I've had, not only from the Democrats locally, but also statewide, like Senator Sherrod Brown, and the relationships I have with the Democratic Party, I think, are strong. I think AJ and I agree on a lot of issues. But the big difference is that, I'm really positioning us the discussion to be about the future of the city and really setting a vision about the future. And I think that's really the big difference.
If you had to pinpoint one thing that you think is the biggest problem Dayton faces in its future, and what would it be and how do you plan to address it?
I think our biggest issue is growing our economy, and that requires the city to be a leader, but also to be a player in a regional context, that it's not just the city of Dayton. And I think our region has seen a pretty large hit when it comes to the manufacturing hit we took during the Great Recession. But then with that comes great opportunity. So we have opportunities to really grow manufacturing. We're seeing some great announcements in the city, for example, on sites that we have been working for decades to be located, for example, the PICO site that's working on McCall Street, where a company is coming in, wants to do advanced manufacturing in the heart of West Dayton because that site fits great with logistics and the location of that site. So we have great opportunities there, but that's our greatest challenge as well.
And what about neighborhoods? What's your plan for restoring them?
Yeah, we've unveiled a neighborhood plan, and that's something I've been working a lot as city commissioner. And really, we've developed a strategy called the Green and Gold Strategy, which I'm really proud of. And it's basically talking about how, we have a housing stock that's around for 250,000 people when the height of Dayton's population was that in 1972. And some of those properties aren't viable and they're not really livable. And so we have to get those properties down because it's really hurting the person that's living next door. That person that's living next door is paying their taxes, living next to that blight every day, has to worry about it being safe or not safe. And we have to get those properties down. So that's been a big focal point of my commission tenure. I'm really proud of the work we've done from getting money from Move Ohio Forward in the state, or if it's federal dollars that we've advocated from our federal delegation. Congressman Turner just co-sponsored a bill that would allow for some of the mediation money that has not been spent in the state to be moved onto this blighted properties. But we have to know we need help, and we can't do that alone. And so we really need someone in the mayor's seat that's advocating and using the bully pulpit and using relationships with state and federal folks to get those dollars. Then we also have to work in our neighborhoods to have conversations about what it means to be less dense. And there's great opportunities with that, too, because quite frankly, some of the houses that were put, you know, in the boom of the 50s and 60s of Dayton were built a little too close and weren't really the best design. And so I think we have a great opportunity to redesign our neighborhoods. We've tried some of that in some of our neighborhoods, and I think that's gone pretty well. And then finally, we have to recognize that we have 65 unique neighborhoods in the city of Dayton, and they have different values and different ways they want to live. And so it's really important that the city listen to what the neighborhood wants and try to work on what's realistic for the neighborhood to do to move forward. I think that's really, really a key point. There's not a one-size-fits-all answer for our neighborhoods in the city of Dayton.
Because you've been serving on the Dayton Commission, you began in 2005, what could the city do better?
I mean, I think it's really key for the city to focus in on this neighborhood piece. You know, it takes a lot of work. And through the previous 8 years, we've really been working through a recession. And so what happens now is there's great opportunity for growth. And that's really fun and exciting. I can tell it's a different conversation than we were having even 2 or 3 years ago. So there's great opportunities for us to really talk about growth. And That's an exciting opportunity, not only for greater downtown, but the whole city as a whole.
One thing that's come up during this mayor's race, Mayor Lightsel had issued a challenge to all the mayoral candidates to keep campaign spending under $10,000 mm-hmm. as a cap. Both you and A.J. Wagner decided not to take him up on that. Why is that?
Well, I mean, I think, number one, he's a sitting mayor, so it's an advantage for him to challenge a cap because he does get a lot more media play and a lot more attention. When there's an issue, they go to the mayor, and he can choose to take that media or not take that media. So, number one, it's a little self-serving to issue a cap as the sitting mayor. And secondly, you know, more importantly, I think when we are deciding to run this race and how we wanted to tell the citizens of Dayton about the future of Dayton, we believe Dayton is a first-class city and it needs a first-class race. And so that's going to take more than $10,000 to communicate with the citizens of Dayton about the future. And it's an important position. It's an important position not only for the city, but for the region as a whole. And so, you know, to have arbitrary amounts declared by one of the candidates, I just don't think is something that is really fair.
One of the other controversies that came up was a poll that mm-hmm. Was done on your behalf that angered the other candidates because they say it painted misleading information in the poll. What's the story there?
You know, I've been doing campaigns for years, and we do in every campaign I've been on, we've always tested everyone's positives and negatives to be prepared. And our poll did the same thing. It tested my negatives as a candidate as well. You do that to be prepared in case someone does attack you so you know what is effective and what's not. It was a straight poll that polling people do. You know, we've run a really positive campaign. It's been great. We've been telling people about the future of the city and telling them about what my vision is.
What can you do as Dayton mayor to make the streets safer?
That's a great question, Emily. I think there's a lot of leadership that could be done from the mayor's position that's not being done right now. If I were elected, I'd be a leader with the Mayors Against Illegal Guns, which over 900 city mayors across the country are a part of. I'd fight for background checks for everyone. And we need to make sure that, you know, it's an issue of gun violence in our community and that that's not acceptable. And the work that Commissioner Williams is doing with the Citizens Initiative to Reduce Gun Violence is a great conversation we're having that builds trust between the police and the citizens. But we also need to make sure that we're advocating for federal action on this issue.
We talked a little bit about jobs earlier, but I want to talk about small business in mm-hmm. Dayton. What is hampering small business the most in revitalizing downtown, and what are your plans for it?
So on my jobs plan that I have, we talk about having an entrepreneurs council to make sure that the small business really has an ear into the mayor's office. I think we hear about this a lot in the city. Small business is much different than someone that has 400 or 500 jobs. And so, you know, when I'm thinking of small business in the city, I'm thinking of like 2 or 3 folks that are trying to get started either with a test bed of technology or a retail space. And so we've had some great success this past year. I mean, actually in the greater downtown area, we've actually seen retail space be rented at a greater rate than we've seen in my entire tenure. So I think that we're doing some great work from the pop-up shops that the young professionals are doing and activated spaces. Those places have stayed on for years now. And so there's great positiveness there. But I think there's still more we can do, whether it's paying attention to how the building code is served and having and just really making sure that small business knows there's an advocate for them in the mayor's seat.
You mentioned having a vision for Dayton. Tell me about that.
Sure. You know, we are, I think, as a campaign and a team, we're really excited about the plan we put together on the roadmap for Dayton's future. And it fits, and we unveiled the first piece in January, and it was the jobs plan. It's about 6 pages, so it would take the whole time to talk about it here. But it really fits around the 8 assets of the city, from leveraging Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to the greater downtown plan, to our water, our fantastic water, and using that as a driver for economic viability and bringing companies here. So those pieces, the health and education campuses, I could name them all, but they're all on that site, are really key on, we think, on developing and creating jobs in our community. And then we also recognize that we have to do work on our neighborhoods, and so we have a neighborhood plan, making sure that safety is top priority, protecting our excellent city services, but then also making sure that we have conversations that both the city and the neighborhoods are engaged in. And the final plan we'll be announcing next week is called what I call the Vibrancy Plan, and it's really about leadership and being an open, progressive community. I think at Dayton's core, and how we're going to grow is that we have to be open. And so the stuff that we've done, from Welcome Dayton and immigrant-friendly plan to being really a leader on LGBT issues in the city, and really saying to this community, if you want to live in Dayton, you're welcome here, and we're happy to have you, and we want you to be a part of this community, I think is a really key point to us. It's who we are at our core, I believe, and it's what we will use to grow.